Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In Romans chapter 3, we clearly saw that God's condemnation falls upon all men. But in Christ, we're absolutely set free from that condemnation by the shed blood of Christ. But what about the inner self-condemnation? How are we freed from that? We'll look at that in today's life study of Romans with Witness Lee. Francis Ball is with us again today. Francis, welcome back.
It's good to be back and to get the light from the book of Romans.
Today, Francis, we've got a marvelous, marvelous word before us. We touched this topic some weeks back in Romans 8, the first time through. And we're coming back to it today with some very fresh speaking and insights from Witness Lee. I wonder if you would set the backdrop for what we mean by two kinds of condemnation.
Yes, Chris, I think this book of Romans does reveal to us two kinds of condemnation. The condemnation implied in chapters 1:18 through 3:20 are also mentioned in chapter 5, verses 16 and 18. Actually, if you divide those chapters up, as they are in the Recovery Version, which incidentally I would strongly recommend to get into this particular line of understanding, the footnotes on these verses are very enlightening. These verses that I just mentioned in chapters 1, 2, and 3, and a couple of verses in chapter 5, the condemnation mentioned there is related to God's righteous law and is the result of our outward sins. In these portions, we see how everyone is under God's condemnation. And the next section talks about condemnation on the self-righteous, and also then even on the religious. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. But hallelujah, the blood of Christ is the remedy for this objective condemnation. Then there's the condemnation mentioned in chapter 8. This condemnation is a subjective matter that really has to do with our conscience and is the result of our being inwardly defeated by the evil law of the indwelling sin, which is described in chapter 7. This kind of condemnation is not a condemnation from God or related to God or between us and God, but it is due to the war that's going on inside of us. It's absolutely a matter of sin in our flesh, fighting against the good in our natural being. Every time we set our will to do good, we find that evil is present with us. This is not just our experience, but it's the revelation in the Bible when Paul mentions about his own experience of every time he would do good, evil was present. And he discovered that there was actually a law operating in whenever he set his mind to do good, the evil was present. So this brings us under a subjective condemnation and even a cry for deliverance. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? The Spirit of life, who is Christ, processed to be the life-giving Spirit and who is in our spirit, is the remedy for this subjective condemnation. So there is a remedy for our objective condemnation, the death of Christ, and there's a remedy for our subjective condemnation, which is the life-giving Spirit.
Francis, there's probably not a more significant and relevant factor or topic to the experience of virtually all believers. I think this will be a very helpful and enlightening program.
I believe so.
Let's join Witness Lee right now.
Let me read to you verse 1. There is now, then, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation here is not that condemnation in chapter 3. In chapters 2 and 3, you have a kind of a condemnation. It was according to God's law outside of us. But when we believed in the Lord Jesus, through His redemption, and by His redeeming blood, that condemnation, hallelujah, was removed. It was washed away from God's sight by Jesus' blood for you. No more condemnation. But don't apply that to Romans 8:1. This condemnation is subjective. It's within you. It's according to your inner sensation. And also according to your Christian conscience. Why we know this? Because chapter 8, you all can see, is after chapter 7. So, I would help you to read just one or two verses in chapter 7. For I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and making me a captive. Pitiful. Do you like to be a captive? Yet you have to realize, especially as a Christian, you have been captured every day. Not captured by giant enemies, but captured by small potatoes. Verse 24. Righteous man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? This is the kind of a condemnation in verse 1 of chapter 8. This condemnation is not before God. This condemnation is right within you. It doesn't bother God. It bothers yourself. Not many unbelievers have this kind of condemnation. Not many, maybe. Not many. But too many seeking Christians, nearly all the seeking Christians, have this problem. Christian life, in a good sense, is a life of peace. But in another sense, Christian life is not a peaceful life. It's a life of fighting. So, in chapter 7, this good brother, he was defeated again and again and again and again, to an extent he had no way just to cry out, righteous man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
Francis, as we just heard, and I'm sure both can testify from our own experience, virtually all seeking believers suffer from the self-condemnation described in Romans 8 and really the result of the experience of Romans 7. And it can be a crippling ailment to our Christian life. What about you, Francis? Did you suffer from this? And really, I'm sure you did. Tell us more specifically, how do you deal with this kind of inward attack on the faith?
Yeah, it's good of you to ask if I did suffer with this. You could easily said, do you suffer with this? There was a time when I thought maybe I was the only one that had these kind of experiences. But through the years, I found that this is a common experience. Frankly, Chris, I don't know how many times I have determined, I've made up my mind, I've reconsecrated myself to do better, I've decided to be victorious, only to fail and come under this kind of condemnation in my conscience. I'm afraid that many dear Christians, seeking the Lord and wanting to serve and please Him, have remained under this crippling condemnation or this crippling condition for years, even to the point of wanting to give up trying to live the Christian life. But I'm so thankful for the help I have received through this ministry throughout the years. These verses we're considering today, especially Romans 8, 1 and 2. It says there, "There is now, then, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. So by this help, I've learned that I can turn to my spirit where the law of the Spirit of life is, and I can turn to the Word of God to be freed from the law of sin and death. There is a higher law operating in my spirit, and by turning to the Lord in my spirit, by calling on His name, even by praying His Word, I get a deliverance from that kind of condemnation to realize whatever weakness I have, Christ in my spirit does not have that weakness, and He is there to free me from the kind of condemnation that I did often experience. So I found to just pray the very words of the Bible, to call on the name of the Lord with the exercise of my spirit, I'm freed now. It works today."
Francis, I can think of probably no better verse to pray in your spirit than Romans 8:1, and added to that Romans 8:2 to help get freed from this very, very troubling ailment.
It's a big help.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Then verse 25 says, "Thanks be to God." Amen. "Through Jesus Christ our Lord." This letter up to this time can cry, can shout, can praise loudly. No more condemnation. No more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You may say, "I'm in Christ Jesus. But how come I didn't have such a victorious cry? I'm still sighing." Let me check with you. Actually, practically, even up to tonight, are you in Romans 7:24? Are you in Romans 8:1? But anyhow, have you noticed what is mentioned in Romans 8:1 is not in the future. It doesn't say there will be no condemnation. There's no condemnation right now. The first secret you have to pick up is to cry this, to shout this. After the meeting, when you get in the car, before anything happens, you have to declare, "There's no condemnation."
Amen.
You don't know the Word of God, how much it works. So wherever you go, you have to declare the Word of God.
Amen.
There's no condemnation.
Amen.
To those who are in Christ. I am in Christ. Satan would lie to you, pointing out to you, you are defeated. You are in Christ, yes, yet you are defeated. You shouldn't take that lie.
Amen.
You shouldn't believe. You have to declare the Word of God. Now, there's no condemnation. Then Paul goes on to tell us why there's no condemnation. He is shouting his victorious cry. It's not in vain. It has a base. It has a ground. God sent His Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. And God sent His Son concerning sin. Hallelujah!
Amen.
God condemned sin. God condemned the enemy that wars against us, that defeats us, that captures us, that deceives us, that kills us. God condemned him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where God condemned? In the flesh. Whose flesh is this? Think a little bit. Jesus flesh. God sent his son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. In this flesh, God condemned sin. When he was crucified in his flesh, that was the time God condemned sin. In the flesh of Jesus, and through his all-inclusive death, God condemned sin. Then verse 4 comes up. That, actually, it should be in order that. God condemned sin in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to flesh, but according to spirit.
Francis, it's beyond our words to express how marvelous God is in his wisdom and in his plan. We're permeated with sin and guilt and shame. But in Christ, we have a God who fully condemns sin, fully condemns Satan, but he does not condemn us. How wonderful is this, Francis?
It's hard to say, but it is truly wonderful. Well, we have to admit that we are all those things in the negative sense that you just mentioned. But because of the all-inclusive death of our dear Lord Jesus, we're freed from condemnation. God's holiness and God's righteousness makes it necessary for him to judge sin, and certainly he has to judge Satan. But because of the death of Christ on our behalf, he does not judge us. But he forgives us, he justifies us, and what a marvel that even though we were so fallen and corrupted, the death of Christ has freed us, and his glorious resurrection justifies us. So we can say, sin is judged, old Adam is finished, hallelujah, we are free.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Dear saints, you must realize, in this universe, there's not only one world, physical. There is a spiritual world. And this is a reality. In this spiritual world, you have the demons, the evil spirits, all those spiritual bugs. If you read Colossians 2, that tells you when Christ was on the cross, many evil powers did their best to hold him, to retain him. So Colossians 2:15 says, when he ascended, he captured them. The Christian life is not only a life related in the physical world. Your Christian life is involved in the spiritual world at the same time. Now, Romans 8 is crucial to the Christian life. And our Christian life does not have much problem in the physical world. Our problem is mainly in the spiritual world. Even this little thing, sin, is not a physical thing. Sin is a spiritual thing. So, if we are going to overcome sin, if we are going to be freed from this capturing sin, we need a spiritual power, a spiritual strength. Your mental power is physical. Your will power is physical. Your body power is physical. This cannot release you. This cannot free you from this little spiritual thing that is termed sin. We have the flesh. That is in the physical world. And we have the spirit. That is in the spiritual world. You just
think about. Are you living in the physical world or in the spiritual world? In other words, are you walking according to the flesh or are you walking according to the spirit? Number one. Number two, now we come to a greater point. God sent His Son to be incarnate in the form of the flesh of sin. And through this incarnation, God condemned this problem. God condemned sin in this incarnation, in this flesh. Why He did this? In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled, not kept. If it is kept, then we have to keep the law. It is fulfilled in us, in those who are not keeping the law, but who are working, not according to flesh, but according to spirit.
Francis, I think that it's critical for us to see the connection between these two tremendous points in Romans 8, verses 3 and 4, that God condemned sin in the flesh of Christ that we might be released to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. How are these related?
Well, I hope I can answer that question that may be helpful for all of us. There are several points are included here in seeing that God condemns sin in the flesh of Christ. First, we see that the law is mentioned. The law mentioned in this verse is the law of letters, including, of course, the Ten Commandments. It's in letters and it's dead because man's body has been corrupted by Satan to become the flesh of death even. So the law is unable to be kept. Or the flesh, the natural man, is unable to keep this law because of his fallen condition. God sent His own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. But we have to realize He didn't have the sin of the flesh, only its likeness. And also it says, and concerning sin, because there was such a thing as sin, God sent His own Son to deal with this matter. And by His all-inclusive death, He condemned sin in the flesh. This was in order that the law could be fulfilled in us, not by us, and that we could walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Brother Lee pointed out that we have the flesh and that this is a physical world, but we also have our spirit. That's the spiritual world. Christ came in the likeness of the flesh of sin and was crucified in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who are not keeping the law, but who are walking according to the Spirit. So we're not any longer in the flesh and walking according to the flesh, but we are now in the Spirit and walking according to Spirit. Brother Lee, ask in this message, where are you? Are you in chapter 7? Verse 24, or are you in chapter 8, verse 4? So I'd like to say, by faith, we are in Romans 8, 4, walking according to spirit, not according to the flesh.
Francis, I'd like to ask you a quick follow-up, if I could. You made one comment that mirrored, I believe, Witness Lee's language and the Bible's, that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us as opposed to by us. Would you comment on this passage very quickly?
If it had said the righteousness of the law was kept, in other words, Christ kept the law, then we would be responsible to keep it. But He fulfilled it. The law, all its requirements have been fulfilled. And now that fulfilling power is in us. As the Spirit, He includes the fulfillment that was accomplished by Christ and can be lived out in us. I'm so glad. We have this by faith, and we enjoy it by living Christ.
What a marvelous Savior and what a marvelous Christ we have, Francis.
Amen, we do.
Thank you very much for your fellowship today. I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.